Walruses face an uncertain future as sea ice disappears from the Arctic Ocean, but two recent scientific papers shed some light on their plight. One study looks at where walruses forage in the summer as the ice retreats far off the continental shelf. The other predicts how the disappearing sea ice could impact walrus population numbers in the years ahead. APRN's Annie Feit reports.
Every summer, U.S. Geological Survey biologist Tony Fischbach gets a glimpse of a world few people get to see. On a small skiff in the Chukchi Sea, he and a team of scientists look for groups of walruses resting on the sea ice. A USGS videographer went along with Fischbach's team this summer and recorded this audio. The scientists wear all white to blend in with the landscape and approach slowly with the motor running low. Then Fischbach aims and shoots his crossbow, embedding a satellite tag in the thick walrus skin. It's an action Fischbach has repeated hundreds of times over the last 5 years. Once the tags are in place, he can monitor the walrus's movements for about 2 months. Those walrus diaries, as Fischbach calls them, are summed up in a research paper published last month.
Based on this, we can really quantify their utilization of the Chukchi Sea, identify areas that are the focus points of their foraging, and identify areas that really aren't used. So that can be really useful for people who are wanting to make environmental plans.
Shell Oil is using the information. The company's main exploratory site in the Chukchi Sea right now, the Berger Prospect, is on the southern boundary of Hannah Shoal, a hotspot for walrus foraging in July and August. Marine mammal observers with the company reported seeing 8,700 walruses from its drilling and support ships this summer. But Shell says there were no significant disturbances or injury to the animals. Scientists expected walruses to be hauled out on shore by the time Shell began exploratory drilling in September, as they have in recent low ice years. But this year, Fischbach says the animals found enough sparse ice to rest on, even after the main pack ice retreated far north.
Some of these pieces of ice, we call them sparse, but they can be substantial enough to cause trouble for ships that are trying to operate in the area, and enough to provide a platform for these walruses to utilize.
Starting in 2007, when the ice disappeared, the walruses began hauling out on Alaska's north coast. But when the walruses are on shore, they don't have access to the rich food supplies they're used to in the ocean. So Fischbach's walrus diaries have revealed walruses hauled out on shore are willing to swim huge distances to find food. Last year, about half of the animals wearing satellite tags swam 240 miles round trip to Hannah Shoal.
We saw them making these extraordinary trips where they would travel far offshore for up to 2 weeks. They would go off and they would reoccupy these open sea conditions over the Hannah Shoals, and they would forage there intensively, and then they would do this long swim without foraging, just headed right back, get some rest, and go back and do it again. So this is a very novel behavior. Basically, they're commuting to get to their groceries.
USGS scientists are currently studying how costly that commute is for walruses, and it's likely an expensive trip. Instead of paying for gas, the animals are paying by expending more calories to reach their food. The land haulouts also leave calves vulnerable to trampling deaths when walruses get spooked by noise and stampede into the water. Rebecca Taylor is a researcher at USGS who co-authored a recent study that models how trampling deaths of young walruses might ultimately affect the population. She says the main takeaway is that calf deaths have a much bigger impact on the population than adult animals taken in subsistence harvest.
Calf trampling on a one walrus per one walrus basis, we expect it to have a greater effect on the population than harvest. And so that's something we need to be watching. And we need to be thinking about that.
In 2007, the first year walruses came to shore in Alaska and Russia, Russian biologists estimated that as many as 10,000 walruses died in trampling deaths, more than the annual harvest amount. Since then, wildlife managers and locals in both countries have worked to prevent the unnecessary deaths.
It made us aware of what we can do for the wildlife that we depend on.
Willard Nyakog is a resident of Point Lay and a member of the Alaska Eskimo Walrus Commission. Nyakog has helped lead an effort in Point Lay to make sure aircraft, boats, and even tourists don't disturb the walrus haulouts. He says the community has come together to protect the animals.
I'm sure that about 80% of our residents are also concerned about the mortality of young calves and the preservation of the walrus.
Nyakoke says he's worried for the future of the species, and biologist Tony Fishbach says there is a reason for concern. But how much concern? Fishbach says that will require much more study in the years ahead. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.